You're listening to a private service announcement with Nate Demetrius, the podcast where I give you an exclusive insider on my thoughts by sharing stories and interviews that hopefully leave the listener with a lesson or two. Stay tuned for the episode. You don't want to miss today's PSA. Well, hello. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nate with a private service announcement. It's been a while since I made an episode, so the wait is over. It's been a long time coming. I've been thinking about ways to optimize my schedule in the fall here. Right now, it's mid-September, and in just 2.5 weeks, I'll be beginning my master's program at City University, doing a master of counseling. I've been looking forward to this for almost 2 years now, and the day is finally upon us. So that, in addition to all the unique challenges that a COVID fall is bringing in my work and personal life, I've been really busy. But I'm happy to be here again, and I'm happy to share with you an R&R episode. As I was reading in the Bible in the book of Isaiah today, and I was so struck by Isaiah 53. So I'm going to read this whole chapter to you. It's not too long, but it's really packed full. And then in R&R fashion, after I read the passage, I'm going to review it, give it a couple of my thoughts, share with you what comes to mind and why I'm so impacted by this passage. Some context before I start reading. Isaiah 53, what I'm going to be reading today. The book of Isaiah, it's recognized, I guess it's well known or whatever, it's agreed upon that Isaiah was about 700 years before Christ. So all the work in his book, in the book of Isaiah, this prophecy has hundreds and hundreds of years of history between him, between when he's writing this, and between Christ. Now, the chapter of 53 here is directly about the Lord's servant. It's going to use that language, that imagery throughout the passage. That's just talking about the Messiah. It's talking about the Savior. And so it's kind of, on first read through, it's kind of confusing whose perspective the passage is being narrated by, rather. But it sounds to me like it's the message from the prophet Isaiah. He's speaking what the Lord is saying to the people. So just keep that in mind. It's Isaiah saying God's words about Jesus. So let me just get right into it here. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier, because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. So that's Isaiah chapter 53. Reading that chapter this morning, I've been going through my Bible through the year program. It's called the Day Bible Reading Program. Really awesome because it's a 5 day a week model. So on the two, like Saturday and Sunday, whatever your weekend is, the readings have been compiled into the first 5 days. So you kind of have 2 days off. You can either catch up or do other kinds of readings or sleep in my case. But I was so struck by Isaiah 53 as the first chapter of today's few chapters I'm supposed to read. I couldn't finish the rest of today's portion. I just had to camp on this because there's so much richness in what this chapter is saying. You know, I've read through the Bible a full time once, and I've read through most of the books of the Bible at least a few times, but just not all the way through. And I don't remember ever hearing so clearly the story of Jesus's death and resurrection in one of the historical accounts, prophetic accounts from in the Old Testament. I don't remember being so struck by all the detail that's in Isaiah chapter 53 around the way that Jesus's death and resurrection happened. Let's have a look here. It starts off giving a perspective that maybe some of us haven't even thought before. I know that this was a revelation for me when in a church service a couple years back, somebody made this comment. So what they had said in this service was, unlike all the depictions of Jesus that we see, not even talking about Jesus not being a white guy, but all the pictures that we see of Jesus, he's this regal looking, beautiful man with long beard. And I mean, that's exactly what everybody wants to look like these days. Long hair, long beard. Just get it. But no, here in what verse is this here? It's literally verse 2. Isaiah 53 verse 2. It says, "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in the dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief." Just right there, that was kind of the basis for this preacher to explain, unlike what people think, Jesus wasn't the popular looking guy. He wasn't the people, it wasn't the people's choice for a leader. Kind of like way back, Saul was the first king of Israel. King Saul was seen as this beautiful man. He was tall, he was head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. He was a good looking guy, and that was all depicted in the book of Samuel and in the transcripts and historical reference of the kings of Israel. But no, Jesus is not that. There's nothing about his appearance, there's nothing about the way that he spoke before his ministry begun that drew people to him as a leader. He was a man of sorrows and iniquities, and he knew deep grief. He was really well acquainted with deep emotion, and there's no indicating in the Bible if and when it happened, but it's kind of just understood that at some point in his first 30 years, his earthly father Joseph passed away, and he was known as Joseph's son, the carpenter's son. And I mean, all sorts of little details about Jesus are popping up here in this chapter. Next, I was so struck by just how much detail around how Jesus was when he was in front of Pontius Pilate, when he was on trial. There's a lot of that in here. It talks about he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so he could be whole. So he was whipped. All of these things, they happened in the story of his death. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. That's verse 7. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. It's so interesting that 700 years before any of this took place, the prophet Isaiah was exactly depicting all these items, all these historical pieces that happened in the actual event of his death and resurrection. Even further, chapter 53, verse 9. He had done no wrong and had not ever deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal, and he was put in a rich man's grave. You remember, was his name Joseph of Arimathea, I think it was? He went to Pilate a couple days after Jesus was hanging there, so on the third day, and he took Jesus's body and put it in his own grave. This rich man put Jesus, made sure that he was buried in this grave, this beautiful one. It's the one with the stone that rolled in front of the grave. You know the story. But even that is here in Isaiah 53. I think I could go through so many little details about this, but what is so cool to me is that looking at this historical document, this piece of history, Isaiah, the whole book, 700 years before Jesus ever was crucified. It's so well explained. It's so well depicted. People in Israel, like the Jews of that time, had been reading this for hundreds of years. It's so incredible to me to see the spirit of prophecy that the Holy Spirit gave his people in the Old Testament and continued to give his disciples and his people nowadays. That is the same spirit, and it's so clear in Isaiah 53. I like at the end, it says, "But the Lord, it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and God's plans will prosper. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish," this is talking about Jesus, "he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous." And that's the crux of the crucifixion story and the resurrection story, that because of Jesus's experience being crushed, being whipped, beaten, being slaughtered like a lamb, making no complaints about it, and having the sins of the whole world on his shoulders because he was sinless, well, it's only to make others be able to be righteous. It's so good. That is the gospel boiled down. Because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. It's only through recognizing the beauty and the value of this incredible event in history that we can be counted as righteous in God's sight. It was just this morning, all of this kind of flooded into my mind, and I was overwhelmed by the goodness of God and the gift that is the crucifixion and the resurrection. We get to live in communion with Christ because of these things, because of his incredible sacrifice. And so we get to live in that. And I get to sit here in my room and read through this beautiful New Living Translation Bible that I have and just see the testimony of his good work for myself and for all of humanity. So, yeah, that's all I got. That's your read and review for today. Thanks for listening all the way through. Anybody who wants to talk more about this or just shoot me an encouraging message and say that, hey, I like the way that you have done this kind of episode, more of these would be valuable or appreciated. Any of that feedback is greatly appreciated. I love hearing from you. That's one of my favorite parts of doing this podcast. So once again, thank you for being here, listening all the way through. That concludes today's private service announcement.